The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Well, hey, you picked just a really fun day to be here. This is a day we call State of the Church. How many of you have ever been here for State of the Church? I need to see. So, oh my goodness, there are a ton of you that have never been here, and you are in for like just craziness today. I don't know how else to describe it. So, State of the Church is this is our annual business meeting, and we decided to change this up several years ago because growing up, annual business meetings at my church were boring. There was like four people that showed up, and it was on a Sunday night, and I was just boring, and I hated it. And so we decided a few years ago to do it on a Sunday morning and call it the State of the Church. Because the president gets a State of the Union, so I want a State of the Church. And so we're going to talk about last year. We're going to give you some reports. We're going to share some info with you. We're going to celebrate. And then we're going to look to the future and see what God has in store for us. So on your way in, you should have received, but some of you probably didn't, these two documents. If you did not get these, you can wave your hands in the air right now like you just don't care. And our hospitality team will bring you these documents, all right? And I'll tell you about them later. So just keep your hands in the air. They'll bring them to you. By the way, we don't normally sign in on a regular Sunday, but we have to do this to keep official records. And so if you're a member, which basically means if you've gone through Discover and you're involved in the church and we consider you a member, then you can sign in on your way out today. That just helps us to keep good records so we know who is here and who made these decisions and whatnot. Thank you, hospitality team. You guys are doing absolutely amazing. So the reason we have the sign in is, according to Robert's rules, we have to have a quorum because we are going to do some business today. We're gonna look at our minutes and our finances. We're gonna elect some board members, and so we have to have a quorum. And so I had our team double check our list. We do have a quorum, which means we have enough members signed in to do business. That's all that really means. And so I'm gonna officially call our meeting to order. And I want to introduce you to our leadership. We have an incredible board that they do their very best to keep me in line. Sometimes they do. Most of the time they don't. But they are amazing. I love working with them. And so I want to introduce you to our board. So I'm going to read their names off. Many of them are here. I think most of them are here. Our board's very involved. And so a lot of them are running around doing stuff right now to help out. But let me introduce you to our board. We've got Tom Russell, who is right back there. We have Mark Howell, who is right back there. We have Ben Medina, who is right over there, standing next to Justin Serrano. We have Dan O'Brien right here. Will you stand for me, Dan? He was on the worship team. You already saw him this morning. And we have Frank. Is Frank here this morning? Give Frank a hand. He was here earlier. I'm sure he's doing something important. And then last year, we were trying to solve for a problem. We realized that when it was time to elect a new board member, that we didn't have anyone in the pipeline ready to go. And so last year, we created something. We just, for lack of a better name, we called it the junior board member position. And the idea was to have someone that sat in on all of our meetings. They had a voice in our decisions, but they did not have a vote. But this way, this person would be ready to step in when needed. And so Anthony Gutierrez, right back here, served this year as a junior board member. Did a great job. I like to call him the little baby junior board member. He did great. I'm so thankful. Added a lot to our leadership this past year. And I'm going to ask Tom and Kendra to come up. I want to honor them. Every year, we have a rotation where two or three board members are up for re-election. And this year, Tom was up for re-election. And so we sit down and have a conversation and we reevaluate. We say, hey, Is, you know, is this still working for you? Is, you know, your phase of life you're in and whatever's going on, you know, is this still the right fit for you? And this year, as we sat down and talked, Tom said, you know, Pastor, I've served on the board for 15 years now, which that's like 75 in any other position. I mean, it's so much. And he said, I love Harvest. I love being here. We're not leaving, but I just need a break from serving on the board. And I think that's okay. In fact, I think in church, we far too often don't take the necessary breaks that help us to stay healthy. And so thank you for 15 years, but also thank you for knowing when it's time to take a break. And so we just want to honor these guys this morning. They've been amazing. In the first service, we gave flowers to Kendra, and we gave Tom a grill set. Don't hold this against him, but he likes the Raiders. And so we gave him a Raider grill set. And we were thinking that, I mean, that's not nearly enough for 15 years of service. And we wanted to give you guys something. This is kind of for both of you, although Tom will enjoy it more. And it goes with your grill set, okay, that this you needed something to use it with. And so there's a gift that suddenly appeared right here. Check this bad boy out. It's got your name on it. It's got, we did put the Raiders on it, and we put the Harvest logo on it as well. And so 15 years, you get a custom disco, all right? That's our new MO. Isn't that not awesome? I'm jealous, man. I'm just telling you. I almost had them change the name and just kept it, but we are, I'll be Tom Russell. This is awesome. Guys, we love you. We're so thankful for your leadership and in so many ways. And I didn't say this first service, but let me say this. You know, for a long time, we just had an unhealthy culture. And what would happen is board members would stay until they got mad, and then they would quit and they would leave. And that's just unhealthy. In the last couple of years, we're seeing that trend change. Last year, a guy stepped down but hasn't stepped down from leadership. He's just as involved as ever. And Tom was clear with me as he was stepping down. He said, Pastor, we're not leaving. We're staying involved. He leads a security team. They do all kinds of stuff. They can't leave. But I just love that the culture has shifted to a very healthy place. So these guys are going to take a break from this part of leadership, but they're not leaving. And so I'm really thankful. Thank you for doing it the right way. And we love you guys. And every time you cook on this, just know that we love you. Give them one more hand this morning.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is awesome.
You want to take this with you?
Yeah.
It rolls. How awesome is that? Here, I'll roll this to Ben. There we go. Isn't that awesome? Man, any of you guys want one of those? Maybe we should do something. Maybe we should give one away for Father's Day or, yeah? Yeah? Okay, maybe we will. We'll talk about it. We'll see. We're gonna do, for Mother's Day? Y'all, wow, okay. Maybe we will. We'll make a note of that. What should we put on it? Happy Mother's Day. We're going to have fun. I can tell. This is going to be good. So we're going to vote on a couple of board members. We're going to go ahead and get this out of the way, get the business done. I have to explain this. I don't even know why we started this, but several years ago we started, when it came time to vote, we vote like pirates, okay? And it's just because it's fun. That's really the only reason. And we actually do this in our board meetings. We literally vote like this every single time. So when it's time to vote, like if you're familiar with Robert's rules, I'll say, is there a motion? And then is there a second? And then I'll say, all those in favor? And usually it would be a yay, yay or nay, but we don't do it that way. When I say all those in favor, you're going to be like a pirate and you're going to go, argh. It's way more fun, I promise you, okay? And I even have pirate patches in my office, but I didn't bring them out this morning. So I have a couple pirate jokes just to get you ready, okay, to be pirates. I'm not going to claim they're good jokes, but they are pirate jokes, all right? How does a pirate make his fortune? He's an investor, see? I'm getting you ready to vote, okay? How does a pirate ask for a date? Are you busy tonight? See, got it? You getting it? All right, you're not laughing at all. I have one final one. What is a pirate's favorite letter in the alphabet? No, no, no. You think it would be R, but he likes the C. He likes the C. Ba-dum. That's a good one. That's a good one. Thank you, Nick Martinez. I appreciate that. All right. Why are we doing this? Because we're going to vote like pirates, all right? So I'm going to have Ben Medina come back up and Mark Howell quickly. I want you to see these guys in case you don't know who they are. Mark and Ben were elected to our board 3 years ago, and so they're up for re-election. The tall one is Mark. I don't know. I'm so scared. And this one, the shorter one, is Ben. That's what we'll say. And these guys have been amazing serving on our board. Mark serves as our secretary, so he takes the board minutes faithfully every month and sends them out. He does amazing. These guys are just leaders, and they're, you know, we don't let our board just like be a board member. Like they're involved in lots and lots of areas, and so I'm thankful for you guys. I just wanted you to see who they were, so y'all can go back to your seats, and we're gonna give them a hand. And we're gonna vote on them this morning, and we're gonna do it like pirates, okay? And so let me just say this: if we have ballots, if we need them, but I don't think we will, okay? I just wanted you to know that. So I'm gonna make a motion to reelect Mark for another term in our on our board. Is there a second for that? There's a couple of seconds. All right, and all those in favor. Arrgh! And I always like to say, and if you're against it, you can walk the plank, okay? And I will, congratulations, Mark, you're stuck with us for 3 more years. And I'll make a motion to elect Ben to continue to serve on our board. Is there a second? Well, there's a lot of seconds. And all those in favor said? Arrgh! Isn't this fun? Are you liking it? Okay. And then, because Tom's stepping down, we need to fill that position. And so, because of our junior board program that we started last year, Anthony is the perfect person to step into that. And we've talked to him and Amanda, and they've agreed to serve in this capacity if we'll let them. And so our board felt like this was the best decision as well. So I'm going to make a motion to elect Anthony to promote him from a baby junior board member to a real life adult manly board member. Is there a second for that? A bunch of them. And all those in favor said? Arrgh, arrgh. Oh, my goodness. This is awesome. If you don't know, we have 2 services here, 9 and 11, and we have 2 other campuses. We have a campus in Rio Rancho and a campus in Cuesta. So one of the challenges that we currently have is that our system like this, like voting on board members, our bylaws require us to vote on it, but it's hard to get a vote across 4 different services. And so we've really outgrown our system. And so one of our priorities this year is to create some new systems to support that in a better way. But I just want to say thank you for doing it. And it's just it's a little bit of a crazy day, but thank you for doing that. If you have these 2 documents, I'm going to refer to them. I'm going to start with the larger paper one that says State of the Church on the front. The first thing that you'll find in this is what is called the minutes from last year's State of the Church, from the 2018 minutes. And one of the things we'll have to do in a moment is we'll actually have to accept these minutes into our official record, and that means you get to vote again like a pirate. But I want to give you a moment to just look through them, and I'm going to tell you a few things that you'll find in the minutes. Last year at this meeting, we announced that Russ and Jamie Collins, who were serving as our worship pastors at the time, they had accepted a position in Arkansas, of all places, to lead a young life there on the university campus. And while we were so excited for them to go, and we knew it was God, and we knew it was right, we also were kind of panicking because we were like, what in the world are we going to do with our worship? And we really didn't know. And as God moved them to Arkansas, God also moved a couple here, Josiah and Eleanor. They're sitting right over here. And so while we're reviewing the minutes, and I'm like, oh, man, Russ and Jamie, and they're doing amazing, by the way. I just talked to them a couple weeks ago. I also want to celebrate these guys coming, and I'm so thankful that when God calls someone somewhere else, he also is calling someone here, and we're so thankful for you guys. Last year, we elected Frank and Dan to our board, so you guys made it a full year. Thank you for being a part of that. We're so excited. And then you'll hear from our campus here in just a moment, but we're also celebrating, we're almost to the two-year anniversary of Jason Sarah as our campus pastors in Rio Rancho. Easter Sunday in a couple of weeks will officially be 2 years, but we celebrate that every year about this time. We're thankful for their leadership there. In fact, we have a little update video from Harvest Rio Rancho so you can hear from them this morning. Check this out.
Good morning, Harvest. We are so excited for State of the Church today. We wanted to kind of give you a report of the amazing things that God's been doing here at Rio Rancho. God has been blessing us numbers-wise. We've been growing, which has been really cool. We've also been super involved with Martin Luther King Elementary School, and we got involved with their snack pack program, helping them with underprivileged kids. Sending them home on the weekends with just some food that they can eat over the weekend. And so we've been getting really involved with that, and we're super excited about that. We've also been getting involved with them on a higher level. We're doing the same stuff that y'all are doing at Taylor Ranch. We're providing Thanksgiving baskets and Christmas baskets for them now. We've committed to do that. And so we're really excited about our involvement right here in the community at Rio Rancho. Also, we've seen some amazing growth in our kids ministry as well.
Yeah, we actually went from about 2 to, on average, about 12. So for each doll, we're growing by 2 or 3 kids.
Some of that is us. We've helped with that as well. But we're super excited about everything that God's doing right here at Rio Rancho. And continue to pray with us, support. All of our volunteers are super amazing. And so we want to thank our volunteers. They're so awesome. But yeah, just continue to pray with us that His will would continue to be accomplished right here at Rio. We love you guys.
Can you just give a hand for Harvest Rio Rancho this morning? So if you don't know what Pastor Jace meant by their helping their kids program out, they had twins this year, all right? So we tell them there's more than one way to grow a church, all right? They've chosen a particular way of growing their church. We're proud of them, though. They're doing amazing. God's really given us favor in Rio Rancho. Pastor Jace just joined the very first Mayor's Faith Council that's kicked off there in Rio Rancho. We just had our first pastor-mayor prayer breakfast or prayer lunch. And just excited about what God is doing there. I hope you've had time to look through the minutes. And what we have to do is we have to officially accept these into our records. And so I'm going to make a motion that we accept these minutes. Is there a second for that? All right, there's a few. And all those in favor, one more time, as a pirate said. Arr. Now, if you'll turn the page, the back page of this document is a financial report. How many of you have ever been in a church and wondered, you know, what's the deal with the money? You know, how does a church pay their bills? How does a church, you know, what does it look like? What are they doing? Well, we really operate with transparency. I'm going to go over some of this today. If you have further questions, please come talk to us. We have nothing that we won't talk to you about when it comes to this. But if you look at this, I just want to celebrate. We give you a 5-year view so you can see, you know, what the trends might be. And I just want to celebrate that 2018 was our very best year. You actually see there, it was our best year in the 5 that you can see. I actually went back 10 years, and it's the best in the last decade. And I'm really proud of you. I mean, you'll see there, our total tithe and offerings last year was $483,000. In income. And then I want to also celebrate on the expense side. I want to celebrate what we were able to do for missions last year. We're a church that believes in missions. We tithe. 10% of our income goes directly to missions projects outside of ourselves. We go ahead and give that away. But we give, as you can tell, we give a lot more than that away. The number here for missions and outreach is actually $98,000. But I want you to know the total total giving for our church for the year was actually just over $122,000. There's a few categories that just the way they run, they don't actually go through our books, but they're part of our giving. We sponsor 117 kids a month through Feed One. Many of you do that. And that money, it never comes to us. It goes straight to Feed One. So we get reports from them to be able to add to this. And then Bike for the Light has been another big thing every year, and it goes straight to our network. It never comes through our books. And so our total giving last year was just over $122,000 to missions. Way to go, church. You guys are amazing. Something else you'll see, and I'll tell you the story behind it, is that last year we really put more back into Harvest. So last year I was challenged by one of our board members that maybe we were giving too much away. And we had a conversation about what would it look like if we reinvested some of our dollars back into Harvest so that Harvest can grow, so that the number that we're giving away grows. And the bigger and the more healthier we are, the more we can give away. And so I really felt like that was wisdom. And so you'll see we actually put more back into Harvest this year in our operations budget and in our ministries budget and in our facilities. Here's what I love is while we were doing that, we still gave a tremendous amount to missions, all right? So it's not, you know, an either or. This is a both and. You know, it's like, well, can we grow here and grow in missions? Yes, we can. And we're trying to do that. And I'm really, really proud of how we were able to do that. I'll also say we did end the year in the black, which that's a huge victory. You'll see 2014 was the last year we were in the red. That was just as we were coming into leadership here, Lisa and I. And I'm just really proud of our progress. But I will say to you, our goal is not to have a whole bunch of money in the bank, all right? So could we have, you know, spent less? Absolutely. But I don't think the goal of a church is to have a bunch of money in the bank. I think the goal is to use the resources we have to expand the kingdom of God as far as we can and as fast as we can. And so you're probably never going to see a massive number, you know, at the end of any year, because we're just going to keep saying yes to whatever God calls us to, all right? But we're going to do so with wisdom, and so I just point that out to you. In addition, you have this paper here, which I'm really proud of. It's beautiful. Pastor Tyler did amazing. This is our Kingdom Builders year in review. If you don't know what Kingdom Builders is, this is what we teach, is that the starting point of giving is the tithe. That's the floor, not the ceiling. And when you're ready to take that next step in giving, then we ask you to designate your giving above the tithe to something called Kingdom Builders. What Kingdom Builders allows us to do is to advance the kingdom further and faster than we could only with the tithe dollar. So it allows us to do some great projects. Kingdom Builders helped us, and you see kind of a snapshot of some of these projects. Some of them are directly related to the finances. Some of them are, I'm just celebrating what God's, you know, allowed us to do as a church. I'm really proud that we took our largest group to summer camp last year for kids and youth camp. And I think that's because we have the best kids pastor and the best youth pastor in the whole wide world. Do you guys believe that? They believe it. There's a lot here, guys. We built a church in Panama last year. We built a church in Juarez. We did some amazing things here in our community at our extravaganza and at a trunk or tree. And then one of the things I'm really proud of is last year our involvement in Convoy of Hope. Many of you were a part of that. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I mean, we served and we gave. We were a part of that. But I want you to know that you were influential in this citywide event even taking place. We were the spearhead. You might say it this way. We were the ones that were dumb enough to say yes first, right? We were just like, let's go, right? And so early on, like, we were signing, I say we, Harvest, we were signing the contracts. Like, yes, we will pay the convention center even if no one else helps us. Yes, we will, you know, I mean, we were signing all those things. And 50 plus organizations and churches came together and we did this. We did it together. But I just want you to know that you are a major, major part part of bringing Convoy of Hope to our city. This was an amazing event. We gave away shoes and over 9,000 hot lunches, and we did all kinds of things. But I love this. We had over 6,800 people in attendance. 3,800 of those prayed for. 102 accepted Christ as their Savior. And we made an enormous impact here in our city. And so thank you for being just an incredible church that will say yes to whatever God calls us to do. Are you excited? God's doing some big things. I want you to hear from our Cuesta campus. I asked Johnny and Christy if they'd put send us a video. They put a bunch of pictures together because a lot is happening in the village of Cuesta. And so I want you to hear about it from Johnny and Christy. Check this out.
Hey, Harvest. It's Pastor Christy.
And Pastor Johnny.
We thought you might enjoy checking out photos that highlight some of the past year's happenings in Cuesta.
This year, we've gotten a chance to get closer to our village and the administration, closer to our schools and the teachers, being able to partner with them and doing all kinds of stuff together.
We've been loving our village, doing lots of events.
We've got the Veterans Healing Field Ceremony. We had our own version of the extravaganza, hiding 2,500 eggs for the village.
We did VBS in conjunction with Living Word Ministries.
That 75 kids attend that event.
It's been fun celebrating life with our community, baby dedications, weddings.
Giving out food and having life groups. Sponsoring our cheerleaders.
And we also sponsor the Girl Scouts and Little League meetings and
Trunk or Treat in collaboration with the schools. The Veterans Breakfast was wonderful. It served around 40 people. Thanksgiving was largely attended. Prayer nights have been powerful. We prayed for Taos Feeds Taos event, where we gave away gently used clothes, serving over 130 people. They were loved on. They received food, clothes, prayer if they wanted it, and Bibles. And that was my favorite part, just praying for the hurting and broken people.
We had a Christmas play this year for our children.
Candlelight service. That was fun.
It was a good time.
The Harvest Kids made 28 Valentine's Day cards for the homebound senior citizens. And on Valentine's Day, we had free childcare where 25 kids attended. And 3 of those kids have been attending church regularly since, which makes it worth it. You know, loving people through events and outreach. But the greatest part is seeing the Holy Spirit transform lives, and the captive are being set free, free from addiction and unforgiveness and pride, and broken hearts are being mended. And that was our singles bowling, but you know, salvation and baptisms happening, prodigals returning home.
God bless you guys. Love you.
We love you. Thank you, Harvest.
Have any of you ever been to Cuesta? Do you guys even know where it's at? It's between Taos and Red River, and we have a motto here. It's called Love Your City, and we started in Cuesta, and I was up there, and I kept saying, love your city, love your city, love your city, and one of them finally came to me and said, Pastor, we're not a city, we're a village. And so up there we say, love your village. And these guys are doing amazing. You, when it warms up, you saw the picture with the snow on the mountains. When it warms up, you should take a weekend and go to Taos, go to Red River, spend a Sunday, go to Cuesta, and just be with these guys, worship with them. God's doing some amazing things there, and I'm just really proud of them. I'm so thankful. Johnny and Christy moved there June of 2016, and they were a massive answer to prayer as we were trying to figure out how to lead a church there. So super excited. Well, so everything so far is behind us. All right, that's what's happened. Now, if you know me, I don't like looking back very long. All right, I want to look ahead, and so I want to spend just a few minutes. I want to cast a little bit of vision about the kind of church that God has called us to be. Lisa and I have been here for just over 5 years now, and you can see even in some of the financial reports that we had a lot to do. We had to turn some things around, and we've done so. Things have grown. This is our healthiest year, and while that's incredible, and I'm really excited about that, I also think it's a dangerous place for us to be. I think that it's dangerous because if we stop now because things get comfortable, then we'll never fully become the church that God has asked us to be. I think that right now the safest thing to do would be just to settle in. Just go, things are good. We've got a great staff around us and the building's looking nice and the outreaches are kind of in play. Let's just kind of settle in. I think the easiest thing to do would be to turn inward. We've really been outward focused. We've been all about our community, our city, our schools, our businesses. We've had this outward focus, and the easy thing to do right now would go, well, let's just take care of who we have, right? Let's turn a little bit inward. I think the common thing to do would be to just keep doing what we've been doing. But I just need you to understand today that what's got us to this point is not going to get us to the next place. That this next season, in our board meeting just a few weeks ago, we just had this conversation. We said, it's going to take a new leadership, a new faith, a new risk, we're going to have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and just be ready to go wherever He tells us to go. We're going to have to be willing to stop doing things that have been working in order to start doing new things, because the old things aren't going to work forever, right? And unfortunately, churches are notorious for finding something that works and then using it beyond its effectiveness. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. We're not going to do that. We're going to stay listening to what God's telling us to do. We're going to obey. So let me just share a few things. I just want you to hear from my heart this morning the kind of church that God has called Harvest to be. Number one, we're a church for our city. When God called Lisa and I to Albuquerque, He said, go and pastor Harvest, plant more churches, and love your city. This is why we do Extravaganza. This is why we do Trunk or Treat. This is why we volunteer at Marie Hughes Elementary. This is why we do Convoy of Hope. This is why this year I'm going to ask you to be a part of Albuquerque Love Week. This is why we do this stuff. Listen, it's not because we need more to do. It's not because we have so much money and volunteers that we just, I don't know what to do with all of it. This is what God has called us to do. And I just want to, I want to remind you today that this church is not all about you. All right, that's what I wanted to remind you. You see, sometimes we get comfortable and we begin to think, well, this is all about me. It's my life group and my chair that I sit in and my youth group and I just wanted to remind you that it's not all about you, and that we're going to keep our eyes outward focused, and we're going to continue to love our city. Is that all right with you? All right. Number two, we're a church for the next generation. Church for the next generation. I turned 40 yesterday. I know I don't look like it. Teasing. One of the youth said yesterday, he said, well, you've looked 40 for a long time. I'm like, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Love you guys. Here's why I'm telling you that, okay, is that they say that a pastor's most effective range is 10 years younger to 10 years older than your age. And so as a church, because of my age, my leadership, our natural sweet spot is people between 30 and 50, okay? That's going to be our sweet spot. Now, Lisa's 1 year older than me, so we actually get all the way to 51, okay, just because of her. Thank you, Lisa, all right? She's not in here. I get to do that. But here's what I'm telling you is we can't only be about people between 30 and 50. If we do that, here's what will happen is eventually we will start dying, like literally you will die, and there will be no one to replace you, and the church will shrivel up and die, okay? As you die, we die, all right? I hate to be so morbid, but that's just how this thing works. We got to attract young people. We got to reach young people. We just absolutely have to. This is why I was so proud of our students at Fine Arts this weekend. I mean, it was so fun to watch you guys do what God has called you to do. I mean, we had several, for example, in the short sermon category, which they don't allow me to enter because I don't know how to do a short sermon. But guys, I looked at you. I watched you this weekend, and I thought, There is a hope for the future of the church. I mean, I watch and I'm like, here's our future worship leaders and kids pastors and preachers. And I mean, it was so much fun. And I mean, they did amazing. The children's lesson was awesome, right? And they did, by the way, so the way this works, they do this at the state level. And then there's evaluators. And if they score high enough, then they're invited to Nationals, which is in Orlando this year. And we had 16 entries that were invited to go to Nationals this year. That's how talented our students are. And five of them won the Award of Merit, which is the best of the best, all right? I mean, absolutely amazing. I'm so proud of our students. And so, students, I just want you to know that we want to reach your generation. And so help us. You need to help me know where I'm not relevant and where we're missing it. You need to help us to figure out how to reach your friends. And I just want you to know I am completely committed to this, and I'll do anything and everything possible to make this church about the next generation, all right? We're not just about old fuddy-duddies, all right? You with me? Yeah, we'll go fishing. All right. We're a church for the next generation. Number three, we're a generous church. God has called us to be a generous church. You saw in our finances, we're not about trying to keep it all for ourselves and build up a big bank account. We're not just trying to build, something here. We're all about being a generous church. We tithe as an organization. We believe that's the floor, not the ceiling. We're a generous church. Something happened right after Christmas. Lisa and I came home from Christmas. We realized that our house flooded. It was a Saturday night, so Sunday morning we were at church. It was awesome. I luckily was not preaching that day. Rachel Hance was preaching that day, and was relieved by that because I couldn't find my clothes or anything. It was just wonderful. And something happened that day, and it was so cool. I didn't have the mic, and so I lost control. And Rachel and the board decided to take up an offering for us. And I don't know if I've been able to say thank you, but I want to say thank you for your generosity. It has been so appreciated. But here's what happened is we had some friends that were visiting, and afterwards I ran into them in a grocery store, and I was talking to them, and the dad told me, he said, hey, I want to tell you, we really enjoyed being at Harvest, and we have a little thing we do that when we go to lunch after visiting a church, we talk, and I ask the kids, they have a teenage son and daughter, hey, what did you like about the church? And he said, I asked my son that question, and he's like, how hard it is to impress a teenage boy, but he was really impressed by your church. And I said, well, what was it that impressed him? He said he just couldn't believe that you guys are a church that actually does what the church is supposed to do. I said, well, how did he come to that conclusion? He said, it was when your church responded to your need without being asked. He said, he looked at me and he said, that is the coolest thing, Dad. I want to be a part of a church like that. So church, thank you for being, you are a generous church, but I want to remind you that it's going to require some work to stay generous, right? We can't get comfortable. We can't just go, well, we gave $122,000 last year. Yay to us. I'm just telling you, it's going to take an intentionality to continue. We have to grow our generosity muscle, all right? We're going to keep on doing that. Number four, we're going to be a church that takes risk. We can't be a church that plays it safe. Now, luckily for you, this comes natural to me, okay? I love taking risks. I really do. It's fun. I love the challenge. I love new stuff. We need wisdom to know which risks to take. Okay, I don't want to just take risk for the sake of risk. I want to take risks that will expand the kingdom of God. Some of you know the story, but when we were early in our leadership, we had the opportunity to help plant a church in Santa Fe called The Grove. And to do this, to be what they call the sponsor church, there's an organization that was giving them $50,000 to launch this church. They needed a parent church. Then this is what we were asked to do, to sign the contract that if that church failed, and they couldn't pay the $50,000 back, the matching funds, then we were going to pay the $50,000 for them. So we did, right? And that was probably the first time I remember as a church where we really stepped out and took a risk. I mean, a $50,000 risk. But here's what I know is that when we took that risk, it actually wasn't that risky, okay? Because we didn't have anything to lose at that time. Like, we didn't have $50,000 in the bank. We had a whole bunch of debt at that time. You know, so my attitude was like, well, what are you going to do if we can't pay it? You know, come steal our chairs or, you know, like, we're already in trouble. I mean, how bad can it get? But here's what I'm telling you is we're not in that place anymore. We're in a very healthy place. And I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be harder to take the risk now because we actually have something to lose. But the Holy Spirit's not going to go, oh, well, you're comfortable. I'm going to stop asking you to take a risk. You know what he's going to do? He's going to ask us to take bigger risks. And we're going to say yes. That's our answer. I haven't said it in a while, but my attitude in life is just say yes when God asks you to do something. Say yes when you can't afford it. Say yes when you don't know how to do it. Say yes when you don't think you're qualified. Just say yes when you know that God's asking you to do something. And I can't give you the details. I wish I could, but I will tell you this. I feel like the Lord's asking us right now to take one of the biggest risks that we've taken since we've been leaders here. And I'm not ready to share it with you. It'll come. We're working through it. Here's what I'm asking you is pray with me, pray with our leadership, pray with us about the risks that we're supposed to take, okay? Because here's the deal, a lot hangs in the balance. I mean, we're trying to reach lost and dying people in the city of Albuquerque. We can't just take risks that will close our church down because then the enemy wins. We have to take the right risks that will expand the kingdom of God. So we're gonna be a church that does not play it safe, but we take the risks. We're going to be a church, number five, where everyone matters. You may not have heard this language. This is part of our DNA, is that we really believe that everyone matters. And there's really two parts to this. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." That tells us that everyone on the planet matters. Every boy, girl, man, woman, every race, every color, every language, everything. Rich, poor, middle class, everyone matters. Do you believe that? And so this is how it's reflected, is we accept anyone. It don't matter how you dress or if you can tithe or if you can't tithe or, you know, how many kids you have or don't have or single or married or maybe you even smell. We still let you in, all right? Everyone matters. But we also believe that every individual matters, every individual. And so this is a driving force for us as we're out in our community. We're doing food pantry and we're doing extravaganza and we're doing the things is that we're looking for, because this is how God works, is he finds individuals who are ready for the gospel. I mean, you read, you know, Jesus, I mean, they talked about Zacchaeus today in the kids' lesson, right? Here's Jesus in a crowd where everyone matters, but he stops because the one mattered. And he's like, "Zacchaeus, come on, let's go to dinner." And so we're constantly looking for those opportunities where we can impact even just one person. Number six, we're going to be a church that's for the one. This really goes with it. But in Luke, there's three parables. There's a parable of the lost sheep, lost son, and lost coin. And in each instance, the idea is this. We'll just use the sheep. There's 99 sheep that the shepherd has, but there's one that has gone astray. And he asks the question, what should the shepherd do? And then the natural answer is take care of the 99, right? But that's not what Jesus says. He said the shepherd leaves the 99 to find the one who has gone astray. Here's what I'm telling you is we're going to be a church about reaching the lost. We cannot forget that, you know, while we're getting comfortable and things are good, right, we're given the missions, we can't pat ourselves on the back and go, way to go, church, and just get comfortable. We have to understand that our mission is to go and to find the lost and to introduce them to Jesus right here in Albuquerque, right at your work, right at your school, right in your neighborhood. Like, we cannot forget. Like, in a few weeks, we'll be doing extravaganza, and yes, there's a lot of eggs, and yes, there's a lot of candy, and yes, there's a lot of hot dogs. Here's what I want you to know. There are also going to be a lot of people there that do not know Jesus, and our job is to find them and to introduce them to Jesus. Are you with me? We're going to be about a church that's going after the lost. Listen, if we don't do that, I'm just saying, we're not going to make it. We're going to die. We have to reach the lost. Number seven, we're going to be a church planting church. When God called us, he told us, he said, you're going to plant churches. I think God's math is a math of multiplication. Most churches grow one at a time. You bring one person or one family or you bring a friend. That's called addition, but God's math is multiplication all the way through the Bible. In the feeding of the 5,000, he broke the bread, he took the fish, he prayed over it, he blessed it, he multiplied it. This is God's math. And I'm just telling you, when it comes to evangelism, part of God's multiplication is we got to get more churches out there because that multiplies our ability to find the lost, to introduce hope, to bring hope into communities where, like, that's what I love about what's happening in Cuesta is that we here would never have influence in northern New Mexico, but because God enabled us to plant a church there, we're having influence. That's multiplication. So I don't know where we're going to plant next. I don't know where God's going to call us. We're praying about it. We're always looking. We're always trying to pay attention to what God's saying. But here's what I'm telling you is our answer is going to be yes. When he tells us to plant a church, we're going to figure it out. We probably won't have the leader yet. We probably won't be able to afford it. We're probably not going to, but we're going to say yes. And I don't care if it has our name on it. We've helped plant a lot of churches that don't have, it doesn't have to be Harvest. It isn't about building Harvest Kingdom. It's about building God's kingdom. And so when the opportunity comes, we're going to be a church planting church. Number eight, we're going to be a supernatural church. Okay, we want to be the church that doesn't just read about the miracles that are in the Bible and go, wow, that's pretty cool for those guys. We want to be the church that still believes that God heals the sick. We want to believe. I got to share this with you. This is part of supernatural. Can I tell you the miracle that's happening most often right now? The miracle that's happening most often right now is God healing dead marriages. That's the miracle that's happening right now. I'm just telling you, like I'm saying it so that maybe you need this, or maybe you know someone that needs this, is there's more than one marriage that I know of that is literally at the end, okay? Like we had a couple weeks ago, I mean, it looked like it was over. They went to the court, they stood in front of the judge, they hashed everything out. The judge said, okay, file these papers and you're gonna be divorced. And they walked out of the courtroom and they walked to each other and one of them said to the other, this is not what I wanted. And the other said, me neither. And they ripped the papers up. And the attorney who's being paid to divorce them is like, what is going on, right? Listen, if you've ever been in a bad marriage, you know that's supernatural. Like, you don't fix that by counseling and just like, oh my goodness. You don't fix it. I'm just telling you. We're going to be a church that believes that God does miracles today. He does miracles in our kids, in our youth, in our health, in our finances. He does miracles. We're going to believe that. Are you going to contend with me? We're going to be a church. I'm looking for some people that will contend with me. It says, you know what? God said it. I believe it. Let's walk in it. The scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight, right? So we're going to be a supernatural church. And there's my last one. This is it. And I'll be done. Then we're going to go stuff eggs. Are you going to do that with me? Or am I by myself? Okay. There's a scripture in Matthew 5:14 says, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So my last one is, we're going to be a city on a hill. I'm just pulling it out of that verse. So listen, we're Easter Sunday in a few weeks. We're going to celebrate our 29th birthday. I think that's pretty cool. We're going to be 29 years old as a church, all right? And the story, though, goes back further. In the 70s, there were two men that were led to this piece of property. I always, when I tell this story, I say they were led here when Taylor Ranch was still a ranch, all right? Like, it was nothing but tumbleweeds. And God brought them to this piece of property, and the Holy Spirit stirred their hearts, and they said, we got to buy this property. And at the time, listen, there was nobody out here. There was nothing out here in the 70s, all right? I mean, prairie dogs, jackrabbits, coyotes, and God said, you need a church here. So by faith, they bought a piece of land that I love. It's at the top of a hill, right? You come up from the river and you drive up, and we're at the top of the hill up here. And I've always felt like there's a little more to that, right? It's not just a piece of land. And that land sat there from the 70s till 1990. 1990, opened the church for the first time. 29 years later, you're a part of that. Here we are. We are the church. How awesome is that? But I'm telling you, like, we are positioned and we are supposed to be a bright light in our community. So I'll just give you one example, then we're going to be done. So, you know, our state representatives, they just finished their first session. And if you've been following it, you know that that there was a bill that passed the House called HB 51. It would have taken we're already one of the worst states when it comes to our laws with abortion, and it would have just taken us to the furthest, you know, than anyone's ever gone before. And it passed the House, and it had to go to the Senate, and our governor had already vowed, I'm going to sign this. I mean, we knew where it was headed. And in the Senate, it's not politics, but the party that was going to vote for it, they had the numbers, okay? And here's what I saw. This is what happens when you're a city on a hill. Is the church, our church, but a lot of the church in New Mexico woke up. And it was like, all of a sudden, it was like we were sleeping. And all of a sudden, we're like, oh my goodness, we have to do something. Like, this is not okay in our city, in our state. And so the church began to activate. And I got to be a part. I was in the Capitol. We did a pastor's prayer gathering. And there's all these pastors in the rotunda of the state Capitol. And we're contending. We're praying. We're saying, God, your will be done. Your will, not a Republican, not a Democrat. God, your will be done. God, please help us in New Mexico. I mean, this is what's happening. And there's prayer rallies. And there's people showing up. There were like 22,000 people that emailed their representative and called their representative and said, we're standing for life. And it should not have happened, but this week, like 2 days ago, it went to vote in the Senate, and 8 Democrats crossed the party line. It's not about politics. I don't care which party you're in, but they crossed. There's a party line that says, these guys are voting this way, and these guys are voting this way. And 8 of them courageously crossed the line and said, you know what? I don't care what the party thinks. And listen, this was probably political suicide for most of them, okay? But they said, I don't care. I'm going to vote for life. And they voted for life, and it was overturned. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? And that's what happens when the church says, I'm going to be the light of the world. Here's what I'm telling you, Harvest. We are positioned to be that light in Taylor Ranch. We're going to be that light. In Albuquerque, we're going to be that light. In New Mexico, we're going to be that light. And I don't want to be doomsday, but I think it's going to get harder and harder and harder for us to be the light. Like, the pressure is on. You know, like, why do you guys, Christians, why do you think this? Or why do you think, I'm just telling you, it's going to get harder. But we are going to be a bright light on top of this hill on Montaño. Are you all right with that? We're going to be a bright light. Why don't you stand with me? I just wanted to cast some vision. I wanted to tell you the kind of church. I said this to the early service, and it doesn't sound nice because it's not, but this is the church we're going to be. And if these things are in your heart, come on with us. And if you don't like it, go find another church, okay? And I don't mean it to be mean. I mean, I don't need dead weight. Like, we're going somewhere. We're going to give more this year. We're going to do more this year. We're going to be a bright light. We're going to reach the next generation. We're going to do it, okay? I'd rather do it with you, but we'll do it without you if we have to. Because it's not about what kind of church you think it should be. It's about what kind of church does God say we're going to be. This is who God says we're going to be. All right? So let's pray. Can we commit to these things? I'm just going to kind of pray through this list, and let's just commit this morning. Jesus, thank you for the amazing things that happened in 2018. What a fun day to celebrate, Lord, just the campuses and the giving. And Lord, there's so many things that have happened. But Lord, we cannot afford to get stuck looking backward and living in the past. And so Lord, today, while we celebrate that, we look forward with anticipation to what you're calling us to do. God, we say, as much as happened in 18, let us do more in 19. Open doors that could never be opened on our own. Lord, we say, God, make us a church that's for our city. Help us to be a leader in our city that's gathering more, that's leading, that's helping with initiatives like Convoy of Hope and Love. Help us to be a church that's for our city. Lord, help us to be a church that's for the next generation. Lord, I pray that more kids and more youth and more young adults that you'd help us to be able to reach that generation that maybe it doesn't come naturally because of the phase of life that some of us are in. But Lord, shift our hearts towards the next generation. Help us, Lord, to create strategies and find ways to reach that generation. Lord, we really do believe, Lord, that they are the future of the church. So help us, Lord, to raise up kids pastors and youth pastors and worship pastors and lead pastors and church planters and missionaries. God, help us to do that. God, I pray for Tyler and Natalie and Lisa. Lord, as they're really the leaders of reaching the next generation. God, I pray, Lord, your anointing on them, your power on them, your wisdom on them, creativity. God, help them. But Lord, they can't do it on their own. So as an entire church, we say, God, we will be about the next generation, but we're asking for your help today. God, help us to be a generous church. Lord, help us to flex the generosity muscle a little more this year. Lord, when you say give, we're going to give. When you say go, we're going to go. When you say enact faith, we're going to enact faith. God, help us to not get comfortable, but Lord, help us to just press the envelope of generosity. Lord, help us to be a church that's okay with taking the right risks. God, do not let us get safe. Do not let us get comfortable. God, continue, Lord, to ask us, Lord. We want to live by faith. God, help us to be a church where everyone matters. God, let there not be an ounce of prejudice in this house. Let us not push anyone away. God, help us to have your heart for people. Lord, we pray today, God, that we'd be a church that reaches the lost. Lord, help us to not get comfortable and happy with who we currently have, but help us to constantly have a hunger to go after the lost. Lord, may the Great Commission be deeply embedded in our hearts. God, I pray even this week, Lord, at work and at home and in our neighborhoods and our schools, wherever you put us, God, help us to reach, Lord, coworkers and friends and neighbors and family that don't know you. God, we pray for them. Lord, we pray for them. Some of you right now, you're asking by name. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to turn the heart, the hard hearts, the cold hearts, the distant hearts, turn them towards you. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd make us a church that reaches the lost. God, we pray that we'd be a church, a planting church. God, we don't know where you're going to ask us to plant next, but our answer is yes. We just settle that right now. Our answer is yes. Help us to expand your kingdom. God, we pray, Lord, that we would be a supernatural church. God, grow our faith to believe that what your word says is true for us for today. Lord, help us to Lord, I pray you'd stir the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, that inside of us, that the gifts of the Spirit would be activated, Lord, that we would step out more and more and more and more. Lord, that we would not be afraid to pray audacious prayers, that we would not be afraid to obey where your Spirit takes us, that we would not be afraid to believe that natural things can be turned upside down by the supernatural. God, we pray that today. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that as you physically put us at the top of a hill, Lord, that as Matthew says, we would be the light of the world here, Lord, on the top of the hill of Montaño. God, I pray that we, Lord, would never be afraid, Lord, to lead for righteousness and for your kingdom here in Taylor Ranch and in Albuquerque and in New Mexico. God, help us. Help us to be a bright light. Lord, however bright our light currently is, make us brighter. Give us more influence. Give us more opportunities, God. Lord, I just am so thankful. Lord, what an amazing family we have here. Lord, we love you. We ask you, Lord, to use us this year in amazing ways. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's church said, amen. Amen. I'm about to dismiss you. Let me remind you that we're going to start stuffing eggs. That's going to happen in the student center. So parents, we need you to get your kids faster than normal, okay? Because then we have to convert the room to an egg stuffing room, okay? And we're going to be bringing the eggs in and the candy in. I'm going to get lunch for you. We're going to take care of you. It's going to be awesome. So as you're leaving, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go stuff eggs.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.